Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. I'm grateful you're here for making the effort to drive here on a Sunday morning. I never take it for granted, and I'm blessed to be in the community with you. Just a couple announcements. First of all, if you're visiting or a regular visitor, I'd love the privilege of meeting you after this service. And we also have a welcome table, which is on the other side of the bridge you walked in on. There's one of our team members there after the service that can answer any questions you may have about the church. And I do encourage you to ask. There's several retreats coming up in July. You can read more about them on the bulletin. And today we continue with a new chant. Our first chant is different than our normal chant. And I really encourage you just to let it wash over you and turn into a prayer. Turn the chant into a prayer. Close your eyes and let it take you deep into your heart and to offer yourself to God and whatever is occurring in this moment in the service. Also, just a reminder that every Thursday evening we have a class called The Work of Inner Christianity, and it really is the heartbeat of our community in terms of where we're growing, how we're being transformed into love, into wisdom, into goodness. So just want to remind you that offering is there, and it really is the essence of our community. And so many, I feel, should be there that aren't. And I'm sad that you're missing out. So I'm urging you to ponder the call to growth spiritually, to evolve deeper into God's love. And in that spirit also, just a reminder that one of the charisms of our community is silence. Really, silence does it all. Silence does what we're needing. And we can serve one another by maintaining an atmosphere of silence in the sanctuary before service, during service, and that might mean checking to make sure your cell phones are off. It's something we don't normally talk about. But just as a reminder to anchor all of us, our intention to be a community that knows that the silence does so much, even more than we may understand. So anyway, thank you for your presence here. It's really good to be together on this beautiful day in June. Our youth and teens will be here in a little bit. You'll be blessed to hear about their experience at Lama, and I'm excited to share the message about goodness. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to each of us today. What is it that you have come into this room with, carrying a heavy burden or a joy? What do you need to hear today? Ask the Spirit to bless you and those beside you, that we would leave changed and transformed. May it be so.
Thank you. Please stand and help us sing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
We acknowledge the love that is in the room and that it comes from you, Holy Spirit of God. And we thank you for creating each of us with the capacity to remember our goodness and receive your love and pass on the goodness that occurs when we consent to your presence and remember who you are and who you wish us to be. We ask that you would bless this service and speak to each one of us in personal ways that would edify us on our spiritual journeys, quicken our hearts to love you more, and enable us to love those who have hurt us and remember their goodness. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen. This time I'd like to invite our Lama Beans, the youth who are at Lama this year, to come forward, and they'll be sharing just a little bit about their experience at Lama this year. Lama Foundation is near Taos, New Mexico, and has been a very formative place for this community, especially through the founding pastors Tim and Barbara Cook. In fact, it was on one of the steps just outside of the main chapel at Lama that Tim looked up on Starry Night and made a big wish to experience and have spiritual community like he was experiencing at Lama. And within a few years, this community manifested and was born as the fulfillment of Tim's wish and continues to fulfill that wish for community. And so I have a microphone here. We want to hear from our youth, and start down there. Okay. Just tell us your name and anything you'd like to share about your experience at Lama.
Okay, my name is Mary Sophia Shakespeare, and this is my fourth year going to Lama. And every year I go, I kind of learn something different about myself, and you never really know what you're like, what to expect. So I don't know. This year's been kind of crazy, and a lot of like stuff going on internally, but I think it just like gave me a little bit more of like inner peace and helped me like to accept myself a little bit more. And I don't know, I just felt really connected with all of the people.
And thank you.
My name is Hazel, and this is my first year going to Lama. And it was really great because it gave me a great sense of community and also a good connection with myself and with the higher powers that be. And it was really awesome because I got to know myself way better and know these people way better. And I would highly recommend it, and I'm probably going to go next year.
Mm. My name is Kira, and this is my first year at Lama. And like as soon as I got out of the car, I just felt like the shift of energy. It was so much different and calmer, and it was just a really good experience. And yeah.
Thank you. My name is John Field. I love Lama. It's a great place. Really gets me out of my comfort zone all the time. And this year was special because, if you haven't heard, bears. It's our great friend, you know. Except it was piling in the poop. But other than that, it was great to be there. During our hike, I saw this giant elk run down the mountain, which was very cool. Did the sweat lodge. I did the whole thing this time. Feel proud about that. And it's my third year.
Yeah. My name is Asa, and this is my third year as well. Every year I go to Lama, I experience something different. And especially this year, the sense of connection with the people around me is really special this year. And so far, it's my favorite year. That's about it.
My name is Corva. This is my fourth year going. And again, like everyone else has said, this is a different experience. Every year you meet new people, same people. You have people joining in different times. I mean, it was just extraordinary. And I appreciated all the effort that we put in as a group. And I had so much fun. Yeah.
My name is Jack Skidell. For Hyped, we say that Hyped is a green mango because we can't really describe Hyped. The metaphor is that try to describe what a green mango is to someone who's never seen a green mango. It's hard to do. Lama is like the ultimate green mango. One of the hardest places to explain because it's one of those powerful experiences most anyone can ever have. This was my fifth year. I was 11 my first year. And this year I've thought about all the past years, everything that I went through, all the times I've cried and unloaded and hugged and just let stuff out that I don't let out. Because Lama lets that happen. Yeah. I have a quick word from one of our pilgrims who can't be here today. Shannon and Kate stewarded for an extra 2 weeks, so they didn't come back with us. And I had asked Shannon if she wanted to say anything. She had a lot to say. just hang in there. All right. So this isn't Shannon's point of view, not mine. All right. This is my sixth year at Lama, and I decided that I would stay after Hype, left to steward with Zach and Kate for 2 weeks. My time here has really grown me as a person. In all my years, I have slowly learned so much from this place and opened my heart to myself more and more. But being here longer was just what I needed. I have made so many friends and teachers in my time here. Currently is the annual gathering, so I met Asha, the founder of Lama, and so many people that have lived here over the last 52 years. I made friends for a lifetime, but also new practices and goals for myself. I can feel my place in this huge story of living world when I'm here and what I bring. Our church has such an impact on the view of the Christianity over the last few years, and me and Kate have been asked to do another Tuesday service by many beans that I hope to do Tuesday before we leave. They seriously love when we come up and the energy we bring. I encourage everyone to visit Lama at some point, even if not with Hyped, because the people here and the energy here will truly transform your heart and your spirit. I'm a different Shannon than I was before, and now I have a confidence to step out and make my own world as an adult. This community is sacred, but it has shown me just how sacred CCH is also to my life. I love both of my homes. So, yeah.
My name is Sandra, and I am not one of the youth, but I have been going to Lama. And I've lost count. I think it's 5-6 years now. And after what Jax and Shannon just said, I'm not sure if there's anything I can add, except that I really, truly believe, I mean, everybody's welcome to go visit Lama, and it is such a special place. And it is hard to describe, but for me, if I would describe it in one word, it's community. It's a place where you feel safe, not just with our group, but also the people that are there already, that live there and that care for us. It's just an amazing place. And I don't know of any other place like it anywhere. So if you have the chance, go visit. And I'm in.
My name is Don, and I felt this trip like I do right now. Sandra said it, community. And this community is everything they're talking about that we get at LAMA. This year, I really felt the opening of the hearts each day. We were walking into this intimate depth of heart. And on the way home, I realized that it was mine that was opening. And it's the same thing that happens here. And finally, every moment is the best moment.
My name's David. It's such a privilege to get to go on this trip. And it's so interesting that before going, you know, there's these eyes, as we call them, these parts of myself that are thinking about, you know, what might go wrong, what's going to be missing. You know, it just likes to do that. And so, it does that. And then I get up there, and it was such a heart-opening experience that I realized that there's absolutely nothing missing. You know, no matter what was happening, no matter how I felt in any given moment, nothing was missing. It's really our beloved sister community up there. It's like an extension of this place. Love, fellowship, God devotion, and contemplation in action. And it's really a special place that I'm just so grateful for. And it's not just LAMA, though. You know, when we talk about the experience and how wonderful it is, it's not just because we're at LAMA. It's because we're together. It's because of these people that make it so special, really.
Good morning. My name is Tracy, and this was my second year joining the group at LAMA. And I had a little bit of a different trip in that I came up midway through the retreat, and then I stayed a few days after. So, but I'll just share, I don't think we can begin to describe the blessings that this creates, not only for our group, but also for the people that live there. It's a true reciprocal relationship, and, you know, cannot thank you enough for your financial support, your love and prayers for this. Absolutely life-changing, the depth that these kids go to in their opening, in their sharing, in their love for one another. You know, it was really profound. And that they have that safe place at this age where it's so hard to be yourself and so hard to feel safe being yourself, that we have this container for them. And LAMA truly is, it's like reality with a capital R, right? I mean, it's real people and real heart connections. And we touch them. That was my big aha, is we touch them, I think, as much as they touch us. I mean, God is moving in both directions. And since I got to stay, I got to sit. We have circles every morning where we do heart tuning and get to hear their sharing. And so since I was still there with Zach and Shannon and Kate after the rest of the group had left, it was amazing to hear their experience of our kids, how much their youth and vitality and their maturity, their spiritual maturity, means to them. And it's also amazing to hear how the ties they service is such a healing influence in that community. Most of these folks in the community have a number of spiritual practices. Some may have grown up in Christianity, but maybe not a loving form of Christianity. And so to see them come and fully participate in that service and talk about the next morning how meaningful that was for them in healing some of their past, it's just, you know, blessings on blessings. So I'm very grateful to get to participate and grow in community with our hyped team as well as the Llama Beings.
I got to be with you all for a day up at Llama this year, and thank you for each sharing. And the truth is that Llama is a place where we see the fruit of our yearly ministry, Sunday by Sunday, of our youth leaders. And the extraordinary quality of our youth leaders and the being transformation that happens in the kids' lives there is a fruitfulness, not just of a trip, but it's the fruitfulness and the consummation of a whole year of love and care and community that's happening every Sunday underneath here in Theosis Chapel and in the rooms. It's something we don't get to see because we're in here. But I stood in total awe and gratitude for the quality of being of our leaders that allowed and provided a safe container for our youth to unload and to experience significant psychological and spiritual growth, which I never got to experience in youth group. We were just spending our time going to Great America riding roller coasters, which, you know, is wonderful. But to have an opportunity like this to unload, to experience God's presence in a different place, is really, really encouraging to me. And I thank you each for going and your love for this community. Let's just offer a prayer of gratitude to God for God's faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for the safe journeys. We thank you for the years of fruitfulness, of 20 years of going to Llama. We thank you for the meaningfulness of that community and what it has meant to the world through Ram Dass and Father Keating and Tim and Barbara Cook, and now us this moment. Bless Llama today and bless us, and continue to flourish our youth group, that it would bless Austin in ways we can't even begin to imagine. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Genesis chapter 1. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
And it was very good. Very good. Goodness, that's the subject today, goodness. What is goodness? It's a challenging subject to talk about because it's easier to see where goodness isn't occurring. It's easy to see the other side of goodness as badness. And I just thought it's very interesting to notice that it wasn't very great, that even God didn't make the world great. And it's very good. It's very good. And it's easy to forget goodness as you look around at your life, at culture, at the world. It's the easiest thing in the world to even believe that goodness is still around. And so what is goodness? This word that is used in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word tov. And it can mean beautiful, resplendent, at ease, whole. And it conveys not just the moral aspect that we think of when we hear the word good, but it conveys the sense of completion and fullness. Yesterday in Scriptorium, I suggested that perhaps another way of translating the word, and it was very good, is using this word. And it was very ready. It was very ready. Ready for what? My sister Hansi is 7 years younger than me, and she's married to Jeremy, and they have 3 children. But for 8 years, they only had 2 sons, Sam and Remy. At the time of the birth of their 3rd child, Sam and Remy were 8 and 6. And they, as a unit of 4, always felt a degree of incompletion. They had an intuition that they weren't yet a complete family. And then my sister got pregnant again, unexpectedly. And they were so joyful. And it just so happened that for the first time in my life, I was able to be there when my sister Hansi gave birth to their 3rd child. And I came in a couple hours after the birth, and I walked into the scene, and perhaps some of you have experienced this before, but it was as if the whole room was glowing with warmth and love. And my sister looked so beautiful lying on the bed, shrouded with the white linens, and so at peace. And little Lucy was lying right on her breast, wrapped in swaddling clothes, you know, the white swaddled little baby cocoon. And Sam and Remy, her brothers, were standing right by her side looking at Lucy's face. And Jeremy, the loving husband, was on the other side holding Hansi's hand. And it was such a picture. It was very good. And they were ready to live their life as a complete family. They were ready. And they have been living out as a complete family. It's a beautiful image of this notion of being prepared, and now you're ready. Go develop. Go flourish. Go live your life as a family. You could also talk about this notion in terms of preparing a meal. You know, you take intelligent action to prepare a meal, to plan it, and then there's all this effort to get it ready, and then there's this moment right before the guests arrive where you feel that deep sense of ease and satisfaction, and you know, the meal is ready. I haven't burned anything. And there's this sense of joy and delight. The purpose of preparing the meal wasn't to prepare the meal. The purpose of preparing the meal is to get it ready so that others can enjoy it. That's what it means. I've taken great intelligence and care to prepare this for you. It's ready. Use it. Delight in it. Participate in it. Have fun. Remember, it's here for you to develop. There's another aspect to this notion of the goodness that is in view here, and that is similar to birth and the corresponding natures of little Lucy and my sister is similar to the corresponding nature of God's goodness imprinting the goodness of existence, reality, life, humans. You can answer the question where we come from in all sorts of different ways. But how different we feel when we answer the question of where we come from goodness itself. And because the affinity with goodness is imprinted into each of our cells, we also are continuations of that goodness and have the capacity to continue to bear forth goodness and be co-creators that bring goodness, that create readiness for others and bless others. And it's this affinity of nature to creation and creator that is so important, because the source, the beginning, is goodness. Thus, we are goodness. In other words, goodness doesn't count out nothingness. Goodness comes out of the intervening goodness and love of God that creates an imprint. It's a beautiful idea, and it helps us feel a whole lot differently in a world that doesn't always look good, that we bear an affinity and a connection and a likeness to the goodness of God, and thus we can carry that forward and need to carry that forward. It's another way of talking about it is, you know, we have that phrase, I'm good, I'm good. And we don't mean I'm morally good, we mean I'm okay, everything's good. And this is that notion of being at ease in the world. And in this moment we see a picture of being at ease in the world, and it's a vision for all of us to cultivate the ease of relationships with one another, to cultivate the ease of relationships to the animals, an ease of relationship where the lion lays with the lamb, an ease of relationship with country to country, an ease of relationship to our waters, an ease of relationship to the earth. And this is the goodness that was intended, that there would be ease, that we'd be okay together. And this is the vision, the hope, the ideal to strive for, that we are created here as self-developing organisms, and we have the freedom to not be at ease, to cultivate dis-ease through dominion and taking and defeating and making wrong. And the fruit of that dis-ease has wounded souls for centuries, and bodies too. Human beings have the great freedom to create ease or dis-ease. But the beginning, we were ready. How are we doing? One wonders. Einstein said, you know, one of the more important questions to ask is the universe friendly? And this answers the question that it is friendly. That's another way of saying it's very good. The universe is friendly. This planet has just the right Goldilocks conditions for our development. And to what end this development? This is a very important question. Is it just to eat, drink, and be merry, or is it to become love itself? Is it to make the kingdom of God, so to speak, on this planet? This is in many ways all implied in the wisdom, and it is ready. What are you going to do with it? Another concept here underlying this word is the generosity. It's not only a friendly universe, it's a generous universe. It's a generous earth. We live in a generous place. Just think, no one pays for oxygen. I never thought I'd pay for a bottle of water, but we do pay for water. You don't pay for your heartbeat. You don't pay for your breath. The generosity of the very goodness continues to this very moment. You may not have an explanation for where the generosity came from, but it is generous right now. And that generosity creates opportunity to do something with our lives and to give back, to be generous ourselves. There's the corresponding of natures, the affinity, that generosity births generosity. And of course, how's it going? We can constrict and fear and hold back from that generous place of love. It's very normal. But goodness is a remedy to restore generosity. So that's a little bit about what goodness is. And we could talk a long time about goodness, goodness, truth, and beauty philosophically. We could talk a lot longer. But what I'm really interested in is exploring what happens when we forget goodness. What happens when we forget our own goodness? When we lose touch with that goodness? And more importantly, what happens when we lose touch with the goodness of our friends, of our neighbors, of our spouses, of our children, of our colleagues, of our leaders? What happens when a culture forgets goodness? What happens? Things disintegrate really quickly. Violence arises, psychological, verbal, emotional, physical. So just a couple things here to ponder. One of the great hindrances to remembering goodness is our rejection of our goodness. And this is one of the miracles of Father Keating's work, was restoring and placing back into Christian psychology and spirituality the ground rock truth that human beings have a basic core of goodness. And if you can get that, it's a beautiful place to start the spiritual journey from. But so many of us reject the notion that we are good because of what we have done or haven't done, because of the way our life is or isn't. We make the conclusion emotionally that goodness missed us, or that we missed goodness. I have another sister. She's actually my half-sister, and her name is Brecken. And Brecken is 18 years younger than I am. And Brecken has 4 children now, all from different fathers. And about 4 years ago, Brecken got hooked into heroin. And the heroin lifestyle in rural Wisconsin does not look pretty for a young girl who's nearly 30. And Brecken was consumed and ravaged by heroin and gave her life to the things that people give their lives to on the streets to make money for their heroin addiction. And time again, I would reach out to Brecken and encourage her over a decade or so to connect with Mother Mary, to go to a church and to pray to Mother Mary, to look at the statue and to connect with that goodness of Mary, the virtue of Mary, the virginity of Mary, so to speak, the goodness, not morally, but the image of goodness of the soul. And Brecken continued to reject that goodness was even something she desired. And then she lost both of her daughters because of her addiction. And then she got pregnant successively and lost both of those boys. And one time recently when I was talking with Brecken, part of her healing, and she has been healed, and she is being restored, but part of her healing was the exact opposite of my sister Hansi's, of that family unit that was so ready to love. Brecken was not ready to love herself in a millimeter. The self-loathing, the rejection of her goodness was so in her tissues that she couldn't even remember that she was good, much less feel it or know it. And thus her behavior corresponded to what she believed about herself. I'm not good, therefore my behavior won't be good, and I will just self-sabotage, self-sabotage, self-sabotage. Rejection is very much the root of so much of the suffering in our world, and why people continue to be in recurrence, because they won't let go of their suffering. They won't open up to remember their goodness, because it's too overwhelming sometimes. Perfection is another way in which we forget our goodness. We expect other people to be perfect, and we expect ourselves to be perfect, and when perfection fails us or is not available, we can't see the good in it. And that spirit of perfectionism leads to a spirit of criticism oftentimes, and it's very corrosive to relationships. It's very corrosive to the self, to the psychology of the inner life. And that expectation of perfection, just take it off the table. God didn't create a perfect world. God created a very good world. A good enough place to grow. And so give yourself the gift of taking perfection, so to speak, off the table, and aim for good enough, and start there. Comparison, like perfection, also diminishes our connection and helps us forget goodness, someone else's goodness. It's so easy to see something or someone or a life that you want and compare it to your own. To compare is to snare. And it disconnects us from the good that is here versus the good that we might have. Rejection, perfection, comparison. And then the big one is a sense of separation. This separation is insidious because we forget the oneness, we forget the connection with the other. And it's the separation that produces the bitter fruit of forgetting the other's goodness. And we have separated as human beings by way of race, by way of color, by way of gender, by way of preferences, by way of politics, by way of location of zip code, by way of income. Separation is so seductive. But it will always lead to the fruit of forgetting the other's goodness. If you can hold the other's goodness in your heart, you can never really be separate from them, because the goodness is the same in them as it is in you. Then it becomes work to hear through the other language, so to speak, where the goodness is occurring. Well, that's a little bit about some of the hindrances to goodness and to what gets in the way when we forget one another's goodness. And just real quickly, some strategies for remembering goodness, because I think this is what the work is about. This is what spiritual transformation is about. It's about remembering our own goodness and remembering the goodness of other people. When we remember our own goodness and the goodness of other people, gratitude is birthed. When we remember the goodness of another, we can begin to be grateful for them. And it spurs our sense of gratitude. When we remember the goodness of ourselves and another person, a sense of joy returns. A sense of, this is a wonderful place to be. This is a wonderful relationship to be in. Not because of preferences, but because of the goodness. Goodness becomes the basis of your joy, not your personality's needs being met. And this is really, really powerful. That remembering one another's goodness leads to gratitude and joy. But here I think is the most practical thing that remembering our goodness and the goodness of another brings. It empowers forgiveness. Because forgiveness is the remedy for our perception of badness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is Jesus' word from the cross. Remember, I said perhaps it is very good means it is very ready. Do you remember Jesus' final word? It is finished. Love completes, love forgives. Love brings the whole process to completion, and Jesus, for finishing it, so to speak, is forgiven by way of forgiveness. It is finished because of forgiveness. And forgiveness is possible when we remember one another's goodness. Goodness becomes the place of connection where we can practice goodness by forgiving. You want to be good? Be grateful. You want to be good, be joyful. You want to be good, be forgiving. And these are the ways in which we can contribute to the making ready of this planet for further growth and development. And it will be very, very good. Of course, in this moment, everything is good. All is well, and all shall be well. So our homework for the week is to practice growing your goodness. Try forgiving. Try laughing. Try being grateful. Grow your goodness just a little bit. Perhaps instead of looking snarky at someone you normally do, you just smile. Perhaps instead of reacting with the verbal barb when someone has criticized you, you simply forgive in your heart and remain silent. Perhaps you give to someone who may need something or ask something from you. Let's make an effort this week to grow our goodness. And in so doing, we will accomplish the vision for the creation in the first place, to be a community of goodness that manifests that very goodness and doesn't forget as often. And by not forgetting as often, remembers the goodness that is always the case, hiding in plain sight. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
We're singing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise all God's creatures here bestowed. Praise heavens above and earth below. Praise God whose great love overflows." This is a time in our service where you are invited to take your tithes, gifts, or offerings into your hands and remember the truth as a declaration over your life that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Thank you.
with total gratitude for the goodness that is occurring in each of our lives that cannot be measured by dollars or digits, the goodness that endures from breath to breath, from life to death, and beyond. We thank you for the goodness of provision and manifestation of provision through this community. And we bless these tithes, gifts, and offerings. They would be a symbol of the generosity and abundance of this universe, and that they would be a means for the transformation and growth of our community into Christ. We ask this in Christ. Amen.
You who knew me before you formed me, protect me while your breath is in me. Can I stand firm if you thrust me aside, or advance if you block my way? You who knew me before you formed me, protect me while your breath is in me. Can I stand firm if you thrust me aside, or advance if you block my way? What can I say when my thoughts are in your hands? What can I do unless you help me? Turn to you in times of grace. Answer me and your grace will shield me. Wake me to search out your sanctuary. Wake me to bless your name. What can I say when my thoughts are in unless you help me, help me? You who knew me before you formed me, protect me while your breath is in me. Wake me to search out your sanctuary. You who knew,
and now let's rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, please join me in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
This humble table helps us remember our goodness and is a very meaningful place. If you feel you have forgotten your goodness or can't forgive yourself for something, to bring it to this table and remember. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, and lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood and goodness of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
change and eager to find the
living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence and goodness as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete, we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude with song. It's been very good to be together, and I thank you for your decision and presence this morning. It has blessed me. The love of God in me bows to the love of God in you.